This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Coming up, our monthly visit with the magazine mavens, editors of some top women's magazines. But first, we want to head to Baltimore, where a fight on a city bus about 2 weeks ago has people talking about race, hate, and the media. Nine black teenagers, middle school kids, allegedly attacked a white woman who was trying to find a seat on a Baltimore City bus. The teenagers, all 14 and 15 years old, were riding the bus home from school on December 4th when the woman, Sarah Krieger, and her boyfriend, Troy Ennis, tried to find seats. Police reports say that one of the teens refused to let the two sit down and kept moving into empty seats to keep them from sitting. And when Krieger finally found her way into a seat, according to the report, the beating started. She suffered broken bones in her face and other injuries after being punched, kicked, and dragged off the bus. Her boyfriend and the bus driver were also beaten after they tried to come to her aid. For reasons we'll talk about in a minute, the story is becoming more than just another awful local crime story. But first, we want to hear more about the details of the incident from Gus Sentimentis, a reporter for the Baltimore Sun, and Craig Thompson, an attorney and host of The Front Page, a weekly call-in show on member station WEAA in Baltimore. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Now, Gus, you've been covering this since the beginning, and you've talked to witnesses on both sides. So let's take each side in turn, if we can. What does Sarah Krieger say set off the beating?
Well, Michelle, the information is coming out slowly. One of the problems is we haven't been able to get to all of the witnesses on the bus. They've been shielded by authorities. But I have interviewed, and some other reporters here have interviewed Sarah Krieger. As is often the case with police reports, the initial report is never comprehensive. I, as a reporter, never expect it to be totally comprehensive. There's always follow-up investigation. So initially what came out was that she was trying to get a seat on a bus and some kids were just jumping in front of the seat and denying her a seat. After interviews with her and her boyfriend, Troy, it's evolved into, you know, there was a dispute over a seat, allegedly, and some teenagers said, you can't sit there, and you know, we're saving the seat for a friend. And Sarah claims that she just didn't want any more trouble with these kids on a packed bus. So she got up and moved away to sit closer to her boyfriend. At some point, a few minutes later, the boyfriend said something like, you know, these kids have, you know, worse manners than our four-year-old daughter or something like that. And that angered, again, allegedly, one of the teenage girls on the bus. And there was a confrontation, you know, punches were thrown. Sarah claims she didn't even have a chance to actually defend herself because the fist fighting began. She was just being buffeted on all sides by fists.
Okay, I want to hear what the kids have to say in a minute, because I know that you guys, at least you or some of the reporters at the paper, talk to them too. But first, the prosecutors are considering filing hate crimes charges. Does Sarah Krieger think race was part of this? Were racial words used?
Yeah, that's where actually she's been actually, as a victim, she's been very temperate in her consideration of that. We've quoted her as basically saying she thinks race might have been a contributing factor, essentially, but not necessarily the thing that started the whole thing. And it was really more about a dispute. And what it sounds like to me, my interpretation is a disrespect, a perceived slight, you know, possibly with her boyfriend, you know, remark being taken the wrong way, and some teenagers being offended by it.
There were a teenage thing.
Yeah. So she's saying that there were racial epithets used, like white this or white that. But what authorities have to consider is whether or not race is really like a main motivating factor here.
Okay. Well, I want to get to that in a minute, but I want to take these issues in turn. What are the you've interviewed, or at least you or somebody at the paper has interviewed the parents or at least one of the kids who is involved in this. What did they say set off the attack?
We talked to one of the girls who was charged, and they're basically saying that it was the victim and her boyfriend that started it. There were reports put out by the suspect's families that the boyfriend flashed a knife at one point during the confrontation. They insist that no racial epithets were used, that it was not a hate crime, that race was not a motivating factor. They say that Sarah, the victim, spit on them, but the victim says that she was spit on by one of the girls.
And if they say a knife was flashed, has a knife been found?
No. And as far as I can tell, none of these juveniles who were arrested were ever treated themselves for any injuries. From a injury standpoint, it was a pretty one-sided type of confrontation.
So, Craig, I want to bring you into this. I heard you talked about this on your show.
Yeah.
What did your listeners have to say about this?
Well, it's interesting. The visceral response of my listeners was very similar to the responses of most people. It's a deplorable act. It's horrendous. Those types of events and those types of incidents involving babies shouldn't occur. At the same time, sort of the socially conscious listeners called and said, look, let's find out what happened. As my colleague just indicated, we've heard at least three different stories and four very recently with at least one report that it was Ms. Krieger who used racial epithets during the incident. So the fact that these individuals are being touted as these horrendous thugs and implicating Robert Poole Middle School where they attended school, and the school had nothing to do with it, but it's the name has been plastered all over the place. There's been a sense of let's find out what happened and then make a decision as to what we do, not only from a legal standpoint, but also from a social standpoint, a psychosocial standpoint with these young people.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin. This is NPR News, and we're talking with Gus Sentimentis, a reporter for the Baltimore Sun, and Craig Thompson, a host of a call-in show in Baltimore about an attack on a woman on a Baltimore City bus that some are considering a racial incident. Is there a racial divide on this? Because let me tell you how I heard about this. How I heard about this is from a listener to our program who wrote in and demanded to know why we weren't covering this and compared it to the Gina Six case out of Louisiana, where, of course, you know, I think everybody knows that it's become a bigger issue, these confrontations between some black teens and white teens, and Gina culminating the beating of a white student there has become seen as sort of a metaphor for an unbalanced criminal justice system. And as I think everybody knows, about 20,000 marchers went to protest the treatment of these teens because it's perceived that the criminal justice system is unfair to the black teens. And this was brought up in contrast to that. And I just want to ask Craig, do you think there's a racial divide on this? Some people are saying that, well, that because this was an attack on a white person, this is an example of sort of the media and society not paying due attention to the violence being perpetrated against a white person.
I do. I believe there is a racial divide. It's very interesting. The reports that I've read recently indicate that Ms. Krieger was also homeless. And there haven't been discussions about teens beating on homeless, but there has been this sort of wave of crimes against homeless individuals. There was some report that the kids were making fun of the Ms. Krieger because she had a black eye. So there's definitely a racial divide, and I think that anytime you see white quote unquote perpetrator, black victim, or black perpetrator, white victim, there's an automatic response and an almost taking of sides with regard to who's right, who's telling the truth, and ultimately who's going to be punished.
Gus, let me ask you this. Is this true? Is Sarah Krieger homeless? And could that have been a factor in how she was treated?
She's homeless. She's a recovering drug addict. She has a couple of children who are being cared for by DSS, the Department of Social Services. As far as I can tell, she's got I think she's had one encounter this year with the police for trying to sell a couple of pills on the street. I don't think she has any violent.
An upcoming trial date.
Did she report that kids were making fun of her personal appearance?
No, she never said anything like that. It was really just this confrontation of these kids wanted her seat. They were telling her that they owned the bus. Unfortunately, what we're stuck here with, because it's come out since that there is no videotape surveillance of what happened on the bus, but when Sarah Krieger was making these statements to authorities and making these statements to myself when I interviewed her extensively, she kept telling me, quote, "That's why I'm happy there's a tape, because who would be an idiot to antagonize 25 youths?" Mm-hmm. So she's making all these statements to prosecutors, to police, to me, to other reporters, believing that her actions were caught on tape. You know, and so like when we're trying to figure out where what semblance of the truth is being told, I take that into account into trying to assess a person's veracity.
Craig, I'm going to ask you, because you're an attorney, that as I discussed earlier, apparently this is being investigated as a hate crime. What is the standard for whether something is a hate crime or not?
Well, the issue is intent. And so a hate crime is also known as a bias motivated crime. It occurs when a perpetrator or an assailant actually targets an individual and because of his or her membership in a social group, and that's defined by race, class, and any number of other markers. So if a person intends to harass, intimidate, cause fear in a group of people, an individual, or a class of people by their actions, that would be sort of the textbook definition of a hate crime.
Guys, last question to you. As I understand it, there are some 381 crimes on the transit system this
right.
year. It carries some 250,000 riders a day. Most of the crimes are property crimes. Is that considered a lot? I mean, do generally people consider the Baltimore transit system safe or not?
Well, this is the problem. It's generally considered pretty safe. I personally know a bunch of people who ride the bus. My wife used to ride the bus for years. She felt very safe on it. But the problem whenever a couple of incidents happen, which has happened in the past month, actually, is when you just have a couple of egregious, serious incidents, it really sort of fuels this perception that it's, you know, just chaos on the buses. But when you peel that onion back another layer, what we're picking up from riders, from readers, is that there is some concern about these buses that have relationships with city schools. And so, like, when school gets out, the city buses pick up kids from school. So there's a lot of unease nowadays of how safe some of these particular buses are, and whether the school system and the MTA should be doing more to sort of nip certain types of poor behavior in the bud.
Gus Sentimentis is a reporter for the Baltimore Sun. Craig Thompson is an attorney and host of The Front Page, a weekly call-in show on member station WEAA in Baltimore. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
And will you keep
Thanks.
Us updated on this?
Definitely.
Indeed.
Just ahead, we will have more on the Baltimore beating case with a hate crimes expert and how this year's massive recalls are affecting toy drives across the country.
We've been giving away toys for about 125 years, so it's a very long time. But I have to tell you, we've never experienced anything like we have this year with the massive recall of toys.
That's next. I'm Michelle Martin. The conversation continues on Tell Me More from NPR News.